making his friends just behave more.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
You're
How
the
are
only
you?
One.
Am I? I'm the only
you're
one
the
online.
Only, you're the only one online.
No, she's not. Hello, Hanok. I just came on as well.
Well, welcome. How are you, both, Rasha?
I'm fine, thank you. And you, I hope.
Well. So now that there's two of you, we can start.
Okay, good.
So thank you, Malka, for coming online. So we're starting section 52 called Voice and Speech, verse 236. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Liakta Shem Yudhe Bavavhe Beyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Elohinu Alenu Maaseh Yadenu Konanei Alenu Maaseh Yadenu Konaneihu Amar Rabbi Shimon Kegavna daoraita kaim bein tire batim kima diktiv lishne bate Yisrael wigomer chad satima ila'a bechadit kalya yatir ila'a kol gadol diktiv Kol gadol v'lo yasav. Rabbi Shimon said, similarly, Torah, that is Zerantin, is situated between two houses, between two nukvas. For Ima is called house, as in for both houses of Israel. One is upper and sealed, the supernal Ima, Bina. The other is more revealed. The supernal sealed one is the great voice referred to in a great voice which was not heard again. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Can you explain, Hanok, when it says between two houses, between two females? What is that in reference to, I don't know, are different Yetzirahs that, I mean, are Yetzirahs within us that are like two houses within us? Is that what it's referring to?
No.
Okay.
It's referring to the Tree of Life. It's referring to Bina, which is a female, and Malchut, which is a female. And between them is the male, Zerantin. The mother, Bina, created the son and the daughter. The daughter was asked to reduce herself, as in the metaphor of the moon reducing herself relative to the sun. And when the moon reduced herself, Malchut reduced herself. And therefore, she lowered herself below the male, below Zerantin, and that's created the situation where the male is between two females. That's what it's referring to.
Okay. It's not really clear for me, but okay. Sorry.
Hanok, who was the great voice? Is that Shem?
The great voice in this case, it's referring to a verse in Devarim, chapter 5, verse 19 is the quote, is the context of it. But normally we have we have two Torahs, right? We have the written Torah, which is the scroll, which is called Zeronpin, the male portion. And then we have the female portion, which is the oral Torah. And just as we have those two levels, we also have, sometimes they're called voice and speech. The voice represents the male, Zeronpin, and the female represents speech. So your voice, just in within your body, your voice box starts to work, but the effect of your voice box working is your speech, your words that come out of your mouth. The words that come out of your mouth are malchut, while your voice box, what comes out of your throat, is Zeronpin. These are all different metaphors for male and female. So when it says a great voice which was not heard again, it's referring to Bina, which is not, we don't recognize or we don't perceive them in this world. They're concealed from us. And that's what it's describing.
Okay.
Verse 237. V'chai kol penima'a ihu dila ishtama v'la itkalya v'davu sad nevi'a begadron apek Hashem b'chashai Unvia tadir vila pasak vihudaka penima dila ishtama lealmim. This is an inner voice that cannot be heard or revealed. It is not heard in the form of a voice and not revealed in speech. It is produced when the palate is connected to the larynx to produce hay in a soundless whisper. This is perpetually produced. It never ceases. It is a very thin inner voice that can never be heard. Questions?
Yes.
Comments? Thoughts?
Can
I'm sorry? It's a Jeanette is saying that the voice you don't hear is thought. No, it's not, but it's a good idea. It's a good
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is it a breath? A breath you're fixing to take, like?
Yes. Yes. It's like the first letter in the Torah is the best. But the first letter is actually the Aleph, which is the intake of your breath. And that's what it's referring to. The very mm-hmm. thin inner voice that cannot be heard is the intake of the breath that will eventually exhale and produce sound, produce letters. Bet, Gimel, Dalet, etc. Any other questions?
The Aleph is a silent letter.
The Aleph is one of the silent letters. In America, you're also taught the hey at the end of the word is silent. But it may not be.
Right.
Any other questions? Verse 238. Vachadeya unfak levar mecheleya umitak peya wekol diyako dihu oraita achid bein tirei nikvei achid bechai panima'a tila ishtama ve'achid v'chai de'ochva ishtama. From this voice, from Abba and Ima, the great voice, Torah, called the voice of Yaakov, namely Zerantin, originates. This audible voice comes from the voice that is not heard, namely Abba and Ima. Subsequently, speech is linked to the inner voice. Speech comes and is heard through the strength and initiative of Yaakov's voice. The voice of Yaakov, called Torah, that is Zerantin, is embraced between two females. It is then linked to the inaudible inner voice, namely Ima, and the audible external one, namely the Nukva. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Hanok, the voice of Yaakov. Usually Jacob represents the middle of the tree of life, right? The Tiferet. So being that Torah is a balance of both, you know, I guess, good and evil, but at the same time trying for the Yetzer Tov that we have within ourselves, his voice sometimes can be very weak, but it strengthens through Torah. I don't know, but somehow speech is connected to this. Maybe the speech gives one encouragement as one is forming its relationship with Hashem through his Torah. I don't know. It's very complex.
Speech is the effect of voice.
Okay.
You have a thought. How do you manifest that thought? You manifest it with words through your mouth. But there's a middle step. That middle step is the voice box. That middle step is voice. Now, on the tree of life, when you, as you said, Jacob represents Tiferet, but Tiferet is essentially Zerantin. Many times we refer to Zerantin as Tiferet, not just the individual Sephirot, but all six of them. But Tiferet is a Vav. There's six of them. It's a link, you know, it's a hook that that connects Bina to Malchut. So the thought is Bina. The manifestation of the thought is in Malchut, is in the words that come out of your mouth. But how does that happen? It has to go through the voice box and be initiated. That's Zerantin, that's Tiferet. That's what the verse is describing in a different way than it did before, using different metaphors, but essentially the same thing. Is that clear?
I don't know. I had to think about it.
Okay. Well, let's go on. Maybe it'll become clear to you. 239.
All right. Thank you.
Tereini nun dila ishtamu utreini nun di ishtamu tirein dila ishtamu dahu hachma ila asati ma'a Dekaima b'macha shava. Dila itkalia, dila ishtama. Levatar nafka. Beitkalia, ze'er b'cha shai. Dila ishtama, hahudik rei. Kol gadol, tehudak. There are two inaudible voices called concealed chasadim and two other voices that are audible externally. In them, in the chasadim, these voices are revealed by the radiance of chachmah. She explains the two inaudible voices are the supernal and concealed chachmah, namely Arichanpin, clothed by thought, and the supernal father, heard neither in speech nor in the aspect of the voice. First, it is revealed slightly by an inaudible whisper, as in the issuing of the letter He, called the great voice. The great voice is a faint sound emitted secretly, and it is the supernal mother. Those are the two inaudible voices, Abba and Ima. Questions, comments, thoughts? Nobody has a comment or a thought or a question?
Well,
I think we should... go ahead.
Okay. When it comes down to Ima and Abba, they're both referenced to father and mother, that relationship. One is wisdom, one is understanding, if I'm correct on this. Chassidism usually has to do with how we proceed in our actions towards the enactment of our behaviors of the goodness of Hashem, I guess. Anyway, when it says the great voice is a faint sound emitted secretly, could it be, I know you said, okay, the voice is male. Could it not be this voice that's inside of us, that's concealed, is having to do with our Yetzer Tov, who is striving to direct the course of our soul so it's not misled by the evil inclination that wants to bind us and blind us into the physical world without acknowledging there's a spiritual component of what we are made of? I'm not sure, but somehow, whatever voices we hear, we have to learn to distinguish in discerning what voice is leading us that we think is true, too often because we are introduced to the evil inclination from the moment we enter this world of physicality. That's what the world we know. And learning to develop faith in the unknown, which is our true voice, our true self, that knows our, which is our true soul, that really knows the walk we're supposed to do or the work we're supposed to do, but we are clueless until we find faith in that. I'm not sure, Hanok. It's very complex. It's all integrated in this one paragraph. Anyway.
You are confusing, and I'm saying this with respect, not as a criticism.
Right, right.
You are confusing the idea of the internal voices with the external voices.
Okay.
The external voices are thoughts that come from outside of you. Once you have this thought, the internal voices, one is telling you do evil and one is telling you
right.
to do good. Which one will you listen to? But these verses in this section are talking about the external voices. They're talking about the thoughts that come out of somewhere outside of you. And this particular voice, this particular verse, is describing that Abba and Ima are always unified. The father and mother are never separated. And that the hey, like it's Yud Hey and then it's Vav Hey,
the hey
represents the manifestation, which is the speech of the voice, which is the male. So the male is Chachma, but it's manifested in Bina, and they're unified. They never separate. The Vav is male, the Hey is female, and they only unify when we in the lower world cause them to become unified with our thoughts, with our kavanah. And if you think about it, you'll see that that's what's being hinted at in this verse.
It sounds like, that this is an interactive, integrative process that we are being involved in if it comes to our relationship with Hashem, who lets us know that we're both male and female and how it's manifested through the female, but yet the one who's directing its attention would have to be the male because of the aggressive nature of the male that we have within us for hopefully seeking the truth, even though we're blinded from it in this reality that we live in, that's illusion. We're trying to come out of this illusion anyway. I don't know. But I like the thought of knowing that the external thoughts, it depends on what we grab onto with the thought. If the thought is taken from fear, if it's taken from preventing us from moving forward towards Hashem, then we know that has got to be the cunningness of the evil inclination that we are striving to put in control through Torah to help us see clearly and to do clearly, even when we speak. That's what I understand. But it's good to know that Abba and Ima are unified in this process. It's a give-and-take situation, which never separates. That's what it sounds like.
Very good. So we have two short verses left, so let's finish the section, even though we're running over, if that's all right.
Okay.
Tireni nun dishtamu inun dintnafke mehaka kol diako v'dibur v'itached v'chadeya hai kol gadol dihu b'chashai v'la yishtama ihi b'ayit l'chachma ila'a v'kol nukva b'ayit ikre d'v'chai Dibur batra'a Ihu bait lakol diako Dihu oraita Vialda oraita Sharia beveyat Bait reshit. The two audible voices are emitted from here, produced by the two inaudible voices. Those are the voice of Yaakov, namely Zer Anpin, and the speech that cleaves to it, which is the nukva of Zer Anpin. The great voice, Bina, is whispered and not heard. It is a house. The Hebrew word for house is bayit. It is a house for the supernal Chachma, which is Abba, because each female is called house. Bina is called house. Speech, which is the nukva of Zer Anpin, is the house for the voice of Yaakov, which is Torah or Zeranpin. Hence, Torah starts with the letter Bet or Bereshit in Hebrew. Both Bayit, house, and the letter Bet are spelled in the same way. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, when I think about Torah, Hanok, as explained here, Torah is what we came here to learn in this world and how to hear it and feel it and then to express it as we come to evolve of however Hashem has created us for. When I think of Bet, which is a house, it's a very, houses, it makes me think of, you know, like a dwelling place, your intimate self that one does not reveal in this world. We hide it very quickly when we learn it's not safe in this reality of illusion as we're unfolding who we are. We don't know who we are unless we call out. I'm not sure, but just knowing that Bina and Abba or Chokmah, they're all interconnected to help us awaken to this Torah that will balance us as we seek this evolving process. I don't know. It's just, anyway, I don't know.
Abba expresses itself inaudibly. And it's revealed in the house called Bina, in the energy store. The energy store, or Bina, causes Zeranpin to do something. That's another voice, which then manifests in the level of Malchut, the second house. That's what this verse is saying. It's all related to the others. Verse 241. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that as you were speaking, when we hear sound, the purity of one sound, Hanok, we truly listen to it. It has an awakening quality to it that happens inside the heart of who you are. That's what came to me when you were speaking, to understand this process.
Okay. Words have more than one sound.
True. But if you say with one sound of a letter of a word, it's amazing how just that one sound tends to wake up something that has been in concealment or blinded from you. I don't know.
Right.
What I've experienced.
Verse 241. Petach ve'amar bereshit bara Elokim chayinu diktiv ben Hashem Elokim et hatzelah Ed Hashamayim, Hainu Diktiv, Vayivieha, El Haadam Be'et Haaretz, K'da'av Yetzem, Ma'atzamay, B'day Ha'ihi, Eret Ha'chaim. Rabbi Shimon said that the words, in the beginning Elohim created, correspond to, and Hashem Elohim built the rib. The structuring of the nukva by Abba and Ima is insinuated here. The words, the heavens, correspond to the secret of the great male and female in the words, and he brought her to the man. Likewise, and the earth corresponds to bone of my bones, the secret of the smaller male and female, the small nukva, alluded to in And the Earth is Called the Land of the Living. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So, does the rib represent the ball for connection to the upper world?
Say again. You broke up a little bit. Say it again.
Does the rib represent the ball for connection to the upper world? You took the rib?
Yes, it does. The rib represents Bina. It represents the upper world. Correct. That's the code word where Chava, it's the Torah explicitly says that Chava was built from Adam's rib. It's a code word explaining that Eve was already there inside of Adam. It's indicating that the male is caused by the mind, which is always in unified unity between male and female, Hakma and Bina.
Okay. Hello.
Yes.
When I think of bone of my bones, right? Okay. What I understand in regards to your what words that are expressed. When it comes to the nature of the way our structure is made, our bones are comprised of the words that we've been speaking. So if we speak negatively, if we speak very negative about our environment, about people around us, anything, that negativity will definitely go within our bones. The more that we can see Hashem's hand in instructing us how to use care in our speech, and especially in looking upon another and not creating separation, but seeing the union between us of what we've come to exchange one to another, then a negativity in our bones will be released to where it could be changed into a light of our awakening. I don't know. That's how I understand it when it comes to bones in my bones.
You're understanding it correctly, but it's not. This verse is expressing that the lower worlds, the Vav and the He, are mirror images of the upper worlds, the Yud and the He. That's what's being expressed here. Adam was created, male and female in unity, but it needed to be separated for the purpose of turning the back-to-back condition into the face-to-face condition. And so Eve had to be drawn out of the rib, drawn out of Bina, drawn out of the internal. It's all related to that same idea.
So what, can I ask this question? Why do they make it so difficult and not just say it right out? You know, trying to find these connections is very confusing. And I'm even thinking of it, well, not thinking, but even feeling intuitively, because it creates confusion for one when you're trying to find the balance of both, to know that the lower world is connected to the upper world, that heaven and earth are mirrors of each other, as well as we're trying to grow in this process, because we as man, as we're made, you know, and our different components, and I don't know, it fascinates me of using such a complex language that is hiding it and keeping it secure to where we don't know, and the stumbling that we do is incredible, Hanok. To me, it's something I don't think has been very, I think it's unfair, that's what I'm saying, and I don't like the process of this. It's built on complexity that's unfair, in my opinion. Anyway, thank you for your clarity. Oh, my goodness.
As my parents always told me, we never promised you a fair world.
I hear that often.
But it's actually very clear, the language. The reason it's not yet clear to you is that the language you want to use everyday speech, and you don't understand the language of branches. And the language of branches truly is clear, much more so than everyday speech. Everyday
okay.
speech is confusing. Everyday speech has many different levels. The language of branches is very exact. It's like a science. But you have to learn what the definitions. You have to learn the code words. And that's what the Zohar is explaining. But you're not recognizing it because you're not familiar enough with the verses in the Torah that it's being quoted. Bone of my bones comes from a specific verse dealing with, or I believe it's from Psalms, but it may be Proverbs, but it's a specific verse in the Tanakh that you don't think in terms that's really describing the creation of Adam and Eve. But this verse, this code, this particular pasuk is explaining how Adam and Eve were created as a mirror image of the upper worlds. Now, we all know that. We've all heard it from our teachers before. But here it is, the source of these code words, so that you can understand it. When you go back next year and read Bereshit, you're going to, when you see these words of, in the beginning Elohim created, and then you, in chapter 3, it talks about, let me find the verse, it says, and he brought her to the man. There's a one-to-one correspondence between those words. On the physical level, you don't see that. But on the idea of the language of branches, it's very clear. And it takes spiritual development to get there. So it's not that it's not fair, and it's not that it's confusing. It's understanding and growing your spiritual level that will get you the clarity. The thing you always have to remember, the beginning of clarity is confusion. If you're not confused, there's no motivation to work to be understand and get clarity. If you want to be spoon-fed, this isn't the place. The study of Kabbalah is not spoon-feeding. You have to work at it.
Well, thank you for your clarity.
Go ahead, Martha.
Sometimes things that could be nice every now and then.
Go ahead, Martha. You broke up.
I understand what you're saying, because if we just are spoon-fed, then we have no motive to dig into the depths of Hashem's words.
Exactly.
We don't grow spiritually. We're just mundane. It's just like day in, day out kind of, you know, house chores kind of thing. But if you have to really dig deep down in your soul to bring out all the spiritual aspects that are there.
Very nice.
Hello.
Yes, Brian.
When it comes down to the branches, okay, it depends. Are you referring to the Sephiroth? Because each of them have a certain task. And also when it comes down to spoon feeding, Hanok, when it comes to the reality of how we are developed, one will not grow without a certain amount of spoon feeding that leads to you wanting to feed yourself. There's a process here, Hanok. And so where everyone is, if the foundation of fundamentals are not taught clearly, it will create confusion, it will create discouragement, and one will give up. But of course, Hashem in the picture, he doesn't give up on us, Hanok. He does help us. So,
and that's why he sends the teacher to you when you're ready.
true. But the teacher needs to understand that how you teach another, patience is important, Hanok. I mean, in this process, it's just for those of us who are struggling and trying to intuitively visualize all this, you know, and trying to form the fundamentals of what we've come to at the point where we're at, there still has to be guidance of pointing things out, and through that guidance it wakens up so that when you go through the recycling of the process, you know, we're already in Bereshit, okay? So whatever is exchanged in this moment of learning, that awakening helps one in the study of Bereshit, of the parsha that we're on for the week. That's what I'm understanding. But,
and that's true.
Anyway.
That's true.
Okay. This is challenging work. It's more challenging than one can ever imagine, Hanok. But again, thank goodness that Hashem knows when we're ready or we're not ready. So, but there is help, though. Anyway, thank you. What a day.
You both have a beautiful weekend.
We will. You as well. Thank you, Nell. Shalom. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.